This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, the creator of the Liberty Conspiracy, which you can watch or hear every Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Rumble and Rockfin and on my Twitter, which is at Gard Goldsmith. Let's turn to our guest. It's time for the Mind Meld.
Emerging doctrine. Our minds are one. I feel what you feel. I know what you know.
Oh, yes. And you know, folks, we talked about this allowance, this great permission that someone might be able to get to be able to actually control his private property and offer it to people in the way that he wants. And when government gets involved, people for some reason don't want to start doing that kind of work. Well, as we saw over the past few days and over the weekend, if you saw my Sunday news assembly, Thomas Massie tried and failed to stop a very nasty proposal that will force car manufacturers in just a few years to have to put on their into their cars a performance measurer, a driving buddy, you might say, that will, much like OnStar, allow the government to monitor you everywhere you go and will allow the government to make sure that you can't run your car anymore. It's going to be an awesome future. So let's bring in a man who has warned us about that kind of thing very often. He is, of course, Eric Peters of EricPetersAutos.com. Find him on Twitter /X at LibertarianCarG. And, Eric, thanks for joining us on the program. You came through super fast, as I mentioned in my email when I sent you the link to come in. Maybe not as fast for me to get this link to you as the 7-Ups, but I hope it got to you real quick, man. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Oh, you bet. I'm trying to figure out what the latest thing I need to stand with is. Do you know?
Well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a big screen, sort of like the cone of silence from Get Smart, and it's going to come down with whatever flag is necessary. It'll come down right in front of me. You won't even see me. I'll do like hand puppets of like Zelensky. You know, it'll be fun. It'll be really, really good. It'll be sort of like, who is that character, Lady Elaine, on Mr. Rogers? She looked kind of like a witch, and she operated the museum. It'll be the land of make-believe. It'll be awesome. King Friday will be there. You know.
It's been a long day, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. That's
now,
for
you
sure.
Know, the business with, they call it the kill switch. And yes. Massey tried, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to get ahead of the narrative. And the way that this whole thing was framed was that they were going to install in new cars beginning with the 26 model year technology, that's how they phrase it, that would deal with impaired driving. That was the term that they used. And they did that deliberately because of the connotation and the association of that with drunk driving. Very hard to come out against something that's going to prevent those dangerous drunk drivers from getting out on the road, right?
Right, right.
And that is why you had that the rebuttal to Massie by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who went on a tear about how irresponsible it was for Massie to attempt to derail something that would protect the public by keeping these dangerous impaired drivers off the road. But when you get into the nitty-gritty of the actual language, you find that it actually doesn't talk about drunk driving. It talks about monitoring driver performance, and that's quite a different thing.
Yep.
You and I have talked often about the importance of dissecting the speech, the etymology that's used by these collectivists, by these leftists. And this is a perfect case in point. What does performance mean? Well, it basically means any driving that falls outside of the parameters of acceptability according to these leftists, these collectivists, right, these nanny state people. So, for example, driving faster than the speed limit is a measure of your performance. Maybe you accelerate too aggressively. You change lanes too aggressively. All of these things are performance, attributes of performance. And, you know, the cars are going to have this technology, beginning in 2026. And it's actually, I've got a piece that I'm going to publish tomorrow worse than that, because a lot of new cars and cars made over the last 5 years already have elements of this technology embedded in them. You know, they are framed as driver assistance technologies, right?
Yeah.
But it's not ultimately about assisting you. It's about controlling you. For example, they have something called advanced speed limit assistance technology, and that's installed in practically every new car. And what that thing does is, using the GPS, which tracks your vehicle as you go and has a map that correlates with you as you go down the road, including the speed limit on the road that you happen to be driving on at any particular time.
Yeah.
The car knows what the speed limit is. The car knows how fast you're driving. And then there's a juxtaposition of those two things. And if you're driving faster than whatever the speed limit is, there's a little icon in the dashboard, a display, that's made to look exactly like a speed limit sign, a little, you know, white background with black letters. And when you drive faster than the speed limit, it starts to flash an angry red, and sometimes it's accompanied by a chime. Now, right, wow, now, it's just a warning in this country. But right, in Europe, where they have mandated it, it actually throttles back. If you push down on the accelerator pedal, and if your car is driving faster than the speed limit, it fights you. It pushes it back. Now, you can push through that for now, but the next step, as they habituate people to this, will be that no matter how hard you push on that gas pedal, you're not going to be able to drive any faster than whatever the speed limit is. And the reason for that is they already control the accelerator pedal.
Eric, can you imagine if somebody's in a situation, and this is just, I'm just looking at the practical side of it. I'm not even going to get into the morality side of it or the constitutional side of it. The nightmares that this can introduce is somebody's trying to pass someone for an emergency, and you know how you got to go above the speed limit sometimes. And people obviously
say,
well,
get out of the way.
I can't even, I mean, that's insane.
If you enter an intersection and there's a semi that's barreling down on you at very high speed.
Right.
And you need to get out of the way. Now you can't.
That's friggin' nuts, man.
They've been ingenious about this. This is a piece by piece thing. You know, it's a demonstration case of that old saw about the frog in the pot, that water gradually gets turned up.
Right.
So for at least 10 years now, most cars have what's called drive-by-wire throttle, which means you don't control the throttle anymore. Used to be back in the day, like my old muscle car that I have out in the garage, when I push down on the accelerator pedal, what I'm doing is applying tension to a cable. The cable goes back and forth, and it works on the throttle arm, and that increases or decreases the engine speed, and that, in turn, causes your car to accelerate or not. Now, in a modern car, when you're pushing down on the accelerator pedal, all you're doing is sending data to the computer, which measures the deflection of that of the pedal going down and up, interprets that, and then tells the engine, okay, accelerate, rev, accordingly, you know, according to that. But the point is that the computer is in full control of your throttle. And then who controls the computer? These cars are all connected.
Exactly.
So it's just a matter of programming them and then sending updates to them to determine how you are allowed to drive the car. And it's not just the speed limit assist. The cars now have what's called brake assistance technology.
Right, right. And the steering assist, too. Sometimes the steering assist.
The whole thing comes together, and what's going to happen is that you will be, effectively, reduced to being a passenger in what you used to consider to be your car.
Holy smoke. Yeah, we're just going to have to go with the Flintstone cars or Gilligan vehicles. I mean, do they want us in rickshaws? What the heck, man?
Yeah, the whole point, there's a couple of points to this, I think, intersecting it. I think one is just their control freakism. They had never liked the idea of people like you and I, just ordinary people, being in control of our personal vehicles
and being
able to drive them however we want to drive them, to go where we want to go, to not be supervised, to not be monitored, to not have to beg permission to go places. They hate that.
No, yeah, that's oh, the pathology, they're so sociopathic. And of course, you know, I've often brought up, just as a quick aside, I've often brought up that all polices, all political systems are sociopathic.
Absolutely.
Because society are those arrangements we create voluntarily. That is society, as political philosophers understand. And the state can only exist by sucking out of the productive capacity of those social arrangements that we voluntarily create. So by definition, all state apparati, all polices are sociopathic. And this is the mindset of these sociopathic overlords, these feudal. I mentioned last night, I don't know if you get to see it, Eric, but David Knight had a great, great interview with an author who released a book yesterday all about the control freaks that are involved, like Klaus Schwab and all the others who want to have this sort of corporal crypto-fascist world on us. And I just thought to myself, you know, we know that economists from the past, like Julian Simon or Warren Brooks, tried to explain to people that the ultimate resource is the human mind. So all these people who tell us that they have to control the resources, they want to control the human mind. They want to stop us from discovering resources. They think that they've got all the answers. They're just such crazy sociopathic control freaks. It's out of control.
One of the metrics, one of the ways that you can prove that is that none of this is something that people have asked for. I don't know a single person who said, you know, I'd like to be able to buy advanced driver assistance technology and check the option box. This stuff is always imposed on people. You don't have a choice. It's foisted on you. The electric vehicle is another example. Yeah, I mean, granted, some people are buying them because they want to, but as a generality, they are being pushed onto people, and they're being pushed on people in part by pushing the alternatives that people do want off the market. So, you know, that speaks to the psychopathic, sociopathic bullying nature of it, you know, the force that's behind it. You know, they couch it in all kinds of euphemisms. But at the end of the day, they're not trying to persuade you that, hey, this might be a good thing for you, and if you think it is, you're free to choose to buy it or use it. No, they're telling you you're going to have it, and you're going to pay for it, and that's the end of the discussion.
Our guest is Eric Peters, everybody. You can find the website, ericpetersautos.com. Going to show you a picture of one of the good people who tried to help sound the alarm on this. And as Eric says, this opens up, it's a blossoming poison flower, this thing. And the entire mindset is absolute poison, but it goes all the way back to when they first started the CAFE standards, when they claimed that they could control the products that are being put out by auto manufacturers. And Eric, you make such a good point. If this stuff is so valuable, if people really want it, then it would be successful on the market, much like the EVs are shown they're not successful.
Sure.
And one of the ways that they get away with this goes so far back in history. You know, I was talking about FISA, the Fourth Amendment, and warrants, and how people have this misguided idea that the Fourth Amendment only protects Americans, when the Fourth Amendment is a proscription against all governments operating in a certain way, regardless of their targets. And that goes back to ancient days of the Magna Carta, common law traditions, and judges who had to present something if they wanted the local jurisprudential police force, the local copper, the local magistrate to go do something. They had to make it public, and they had to show the person they wanted to show was the target of their search.
Yep.
And this is a perfect example of that similar mindset to say, well, we can do whatever we want. It doesn't matter. People don't question these regulations. So FISA has been around since the 70s, just like the automobile CAFE standards have been around since that time. And people have just become accustomed to it. You're absolutely right. It is the boiling frog scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to wake up and recognize that it's, and I pointed this out in my MRC TV piece, it's not just what the mandate is. It's the mandate concept itself that needs to be stopped. That's it.
And also there's an underlying premise here that people have gotten habituated to, have gotten used to get back to this impaired driving thing, which is that in the past, you had to have been convicted of drunk driving before you had to suffer an imposition as a result of that fact. So a person got convicted of drunk driving, and part of the punishment for that was that they had to have an interlock or a breathalyzer installed in their car that they had to blow into in order to be able to drive the car. And there was some justice in that, okay, this person actually was convicted of drunk driving. But what's happening now is that we are all presumed to be drunk drivers or inept drivers or dangerous drivers or whatever it is. Even in the absence of any evidence that we are that thing, we are nonetheless to be treated that way, just like we're treated as presumptive terrorists when we attempt to fly commercially. You know, it's everything has been inverted. Western civilization used to be based in part on the idea of having to establish guilt in a process before punishment. Now the punishment is just applied to everybody. You know, why bother with due process? We'll just treat everybody like a criminal. And it reminds me, there was a crusade, I can't remember when it was, but I think it was like in the 13th or the 14th century, and I can't remember which pope it was. But they had besieged a town or a village that was housing some apostates. And one of the pope's underlings said something like, well, we can't go in there because they're innocents, they're women and children. And the Pope said famously, kill them all, God will know his own. And that's essentially the doctrine that we have now.
You are so right. It's amazing. They seem to claim sainthood while we are all charged with original sin against the state.
Yep.
And as long as they can get into those halls, they're angels. They're St. Peter's, and they will tell us whether we can pass or we can't pass. Yep. It is vile. It's absolutely vile. And the thing that gets me going back into history again, Eric, and you and I have discussed this in the past, is, again, the blithe assumption that people have that is at the root of much of this. And whether or not they would get into regulating the cars, it would probably have happened. But the very idea that they can regulate the roads on which we drive, that they can claim the power to say, we know you want to get from point A to point B, but you want to go this way. So we're going to build the roads this way. And a lot of our friends who own the property along those routes, they're going to make a lot of money. So we're going to do that. And we're going to maintain the roads very poorly. And now, if you happen to be good enough and sharp enough to get the license that we're going to issue, but we'll also issue it to a lot of other people who aren't as sharp, we'll throw you all on the same roads so that you'll have to go really, really slowly, even though you're a good driver. You can't get on a private road and go someplace. But in addition to that, if you happen to want to dodge a pothole, no, sorry, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to throw something up your butt and tell you that you can't drive anymore. That's the kind of thing. Debbie Wasserman Schultz might as well have billboards of her all along every road. Say, hi, I'm here watching you.
Yeah.
This is what it is. It's the eye in the sky, like the Alan Parsons Project or Judas Priest, the electric eye.
Does it?
Yeah. We need the hellion. That's what we need.
I'd like to touch on this. You know, you talk about what had been previously our right to travel.
Yeah.
One of the things that the system has done, in addition to turning that into a conditional privilege, is making it so there really isn't any practical alternative to it. The state arrogates to itself all of the roads, which now become the government's roads. They call it public roads, but they're government roads. They're owned by the government. And you effectively have no alternative but to use these government roads, because how are you going to get anywhere? You have to use the government's roads, right? And so once they've done that, they've got you cornered, and they can apply all these conditions to your conditional privilege to something that used to be considered and was an inherent right of free people to travel freely.
And again, you know, it goes back, and I'll say this again, if people are new to the program, a long time ago, I wrote an article about Rod Stewart, who got together with some of his friends. He lives on a dirt road, one of his houses, but the little house that he has a bunch of neighbors on his street. You know, it's just a dirt road, stone walls next to it. Looks a lot like a lot of the roads around New Hampshire where I grew up. And, he went out with his buddies, and they fixed all the divots in the road because, as you know, especially on dirt roads, once you get one of those divots, you get the resonant frequency from the springs of the cars, and they make more divots down the line. You get the ruts. So they went out, and they just started fixing stuff. And so I already had a bunch of the knowledge, but I did extra research, and I found out that one of the earliest tax protests in British history had to do with the fact that, and if you're new to the show, this is information for you if you're, you know, folks have seen the show before, but the original roads, as you know, Eric, they were common passageways amongst the people who were the Angles, the Saxons. Irish did the same sort of thing, where they had a system of land that was run by farmers before the enclosure movement came in and took a lot of that land away and got it taken over by the royally connected dukes and so on, especially after the Norman conquest, through for hundreds of years. They kept taking more of this land. But before the royals took that land and set up their little network of all their fiefdoms and their friends and their blood ties, a lot of the common people had their farmlands. And based on reputation and friendliness for neighbors and things like that, some of those people would open up basically access routes for their neighbors. And so their neighbors could get their stuff to the town village area where they could sell their stuff, and they would travel back and forth. And those people who didn't participate in opening up some of those passageways, and there are still some of them. I walked through one in Bath to get to a little pub. It was wonderful. It was like going through a secret garden. It was the most beautiful thing. And it was great. And as the British government under the Norman conquest mentality started to take over, they started to then say, and the people locally took care of those roads. They would just go and take care of them. They'd keep the weeds off. They'd make sure those ruts were taken care of and so on. And eventually the royals said, no, we're going to take over these roads. And rather than allowing you to maintain these things, we're going to tax you. And now we're going to have your money taking care of the roads, and we're just going to charge you. So it was just a way to get money from them. Yeah. The people said, we'll take care of the roads. Just leave us alone. We've been doing it for hundreds of years. What is this? It's the same sort of thing. And again, if people don't think that you can get private roads in the United States, I'll direct them towards the history that Thomas DiLorenzo offers in how capitalism saved America. I've got it in my Live Free or Die book as well. Thousands and thousands of privately created roads in the pre-American Revolution era on through the Revolutionary era, until as decades went along, some of the people who built the roads and some of the local politicians, some of the people especially who had the road building skills, realized that rather than freely offering to buy property and seeing whether or not somebody wanted to, if they could make friends with the politicians could seize the land through eminent domain and then hire them to do the road paving work themselves. So it was all political. It was fascism and corruption. And now we've got them running the roads. They're oftentimes not safe. The bridges are collapsing. And it's amazing to see they'll promote these things highly when they first put them out there, and then they let them fall to rot. If people think that people can't create roads themselves, how do shopping malls create vast parking lots? Why is it that those are always plowed first and salted and sanded? How are we too stupid? I've said this before. Are we too dumb to create driveways to our house? I don't know how to get to the road. I guess the government's going to have to do it.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Residents of Iceland are grappling with the imminent eruption of a volcano. A fissure in the earth has started spreading through the small town of Grindavik, and numerous earthquakes have been documented. All 3,800 residents have been compelled to evacuate. President Biden sat down with the president of Mexico Friday during a bilateral meeting in San Francisco.
Nothing is beyond our reach, in my view. I really mean it. When Mexico and the United States stand together and work together, as we've been doing.
Biden said the two nations are working together to tackle long-standing migration issues and combat the trafficking of fentanyl. The Thanksgiving travel season kicked off Friday, and it's anticipated to be one of the busiest in history. AAA projects that over 55 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more for Thanksgiving this year. That marks a slightly over 2% increase from last year. The forecast ranks as the third highest for the holiday since 2000. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do. Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We return with Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Continuing our conversation with Eric Peters of ericpetersautos.com.
It's a dissonant thing, and it's stuff that seems evidently, or to me, is common sense. Just, and probably to you, and probably to most of the people listening, it doesn't seem to register. One thing that doesn't is the way that by giving these things the power, well, by letting the state acquire the power to do these things, you accept this unilateral, arbitrary, one-size-fits-all solution over which you have no control at all, and it becomes entirely unreasonable. You know, to get back to this business of the government regulations, you know, most people think, and I agree, it's reasonable to control the emissions of the vehicle such that there aren't meaningful harms caused as a result of those emissions. But what we've got now is essentially kind of like what they have in China with the zero COVID policies, zero emissions, zero COVID. It's insane. You know, cost no object to pursue a fanatical goal that is completely divorced from any objective, meaningful harm that might be actually caused. That's crazy. And that can only happen when there's force behind it. Because if there weren't force behind it, people would say, I'm not signing on to that. That's absurd. Exactly. I'm not going to fund that.
And you know, your analogy to the COVID lockdown mythology that they put forward in the jab mythology, that's a perfect example because we have the so-called concept of public health. And of course, who will define what is health? The government. Who will define who can be sacrificed for the greater good? The government. So individual health is really what we all have. There is no public health. That is something where they will usurp our ability to be able to control our lives. They will define what is health, and they will sacrifice people according to the larger good, whatever population they think that that is. So we don't blend into other people. We are still individuals. But that mindset, where they're the ones who can define the terms, well, they can define it any way they want. Same thing with the road safety. Same thing with the emissions. And this brings me, Eric, back to the concept of direct liability for people and tortious claims.
Yep.
If you had a company that was making a product and it was emitting some sort of gas that was literally poisonous to people and it was readily recognizable, then clearly those people who were being harmed by the person using that product could sue the person using the product, especially if the person was aware. They could bring a tortious claim to say, I have been harmed. I was almost killed by your whatever it is. You know, then they could also, through joint and several liability, bring suit to the manufacturer to say, you created this thing that put me in danger and you didn't make people aware of the dangers. Now, that's different, of course, than something operating the way it's supposed to, like a firearm, right? Which, as we know, they're generally used more for defense anyway. But that's the thing. In a peremptory fashion, first, they misread the Interstate Commerce Clause, and James Madison tried to warn people it was state-on-state action, not individuals selling stuff over state borders. It was supposed to be about tariffs and states blocking tariffs, and it was a remedial way where they could go in after the fact that there was a dispute between states, that they were putting up trade barriers, they could go in and try to resolve it in Congress. But now, of course, especially since they started the so-called trust busters, they've been moving with this idea that anything that goes over state borders from person to person, company to company, can be regulated. And before anything has even gone wrong, they can tell exactly you what to put into your product. And it is, again, Mussolini would be proud. The fascists, I mentioned again, you know, you brought it up last week, the fascists at the Lincoln Memorial. The fascists would be delighted by this stuff.
Yeah.
This is exactly their worldview because it gives all the politicians power.
Yep. You bring up the issue of harm's cost. And, you know, you can begin at the level of a traffic offense. You know, it's no longer necessary to prove that the accused has injured anyone or caused damage to anybody's property. It's sufficient merely that this person has transgressed a statute, whatever the statute is, however arbitrary it is. And most of us have fallen prey to this at one time or another. We've been pulled over by a cop and given a ticket for some nonsense like speeding, you know, or making a right turn on red that was perfectly safe to make.
Right.
And we know we feel abused. We know we didn't do anything wrong in our gut, in our heart, in our mind, morally speaking. We didn't do anything.
Right.
And yet, you know, we're put through this process where we're made to feel as if we're quote unquote guilty, and then we're punished for something that we didn't do.
Right.
You know, if you're not a psychopath and you caused harm, you know, whether it's to a person's physical body or their property, you are sorry about it. You regret that you did that. It probably wasn't intentional. You messed up and you accept that you are responsible for that. And you don't chafe at being made to pay. You probably wouldn't even be made to. You would say, yeah, you know, I messed up. You know,
yeah,
I owe
right.
you. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to pay you back, whatever it might be. And really that ultimately is what justice ought to be with regard to the regulations. And they scaled this up. And remember when Volkswagen got crucified over the cheating on government emissions certification tests?
Right.
I had some communication at the time with people within the company. I can't talk about who they were, but I was begging them, will you please spend some money on public relations and TV ads and explain to people what's going on here and demand that the government prove or bring forth somebody who was actually harmed, a person, somebody
right.
who
exactly.
was harmed by what was done here and explain that to people. And they didn't. And instead, they put on the hair shirt, they flagellated themselves, you know, and now they are, you know, they're amongst the tip of the spear in pushing this electrification thing as their kind of mea culpa for, you know, the sin of having cheated on government certification tests.
Eric, I don't know. We're speaking with Eric Peters. It's Eric Peters Autos. I want to show you the site again, and I've got my piece up there from the piece I wrote for November 14th. It came out about Congressman Massey. And Eric, I don't know if I mentioned this to you in text. We got all sorts of hassles from NewsGuard about that. Mm-hmm. I think it was Monday morning. I don't know how much time I spent going back and forth with the editors. And it's all hyperlinked. All the information's there. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. Let's show Eric's site again. EricPetersAutos.com. I love the image that you've got there. For a safe and secure society, the emperor, or the soon-to-be emperor, then Senator Palpatine.
It's so tediously predictable that, you know, that whenever they come out with whatever their latest tyrannical decree is, it's always to keep us safe, to protect the public health. Always. That's the kind of the demagoguery that they use. And I keep hoping and praying that eventually people are going to see through this and begin to dissect it without, you know, having to wait a year, three, four, five before they finally figure it out.
And, you know, you talk about demagoguery. And I think one of the things that really gets me, Eric, is, and it's an interesting, it can be a distraction and draw people's focus a little bit too much. But it's always, for me, it's always mixed into an incentive to then look deeper and try to grasp some long-term lessons. So we've got all these different characters, these different despicable figures like Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We see her in battle with Thomas Massie. And if you don't mind, I'd love to play a little bit of that on the floor of the House.
Really, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And then we see Thomas Massie being the honest dealer he is. He comes out with screenshots on his Twitter X feed and says, here's the legislation from 2021 that I was trying to amend to stop. You tell me what it is. That's the stuff that NewsGuard went after me for. I'm like, I'm just citing what is in the bill. I'm literally hyperlinking to his picture of the bill. And you're giving me a hassle now. Because they don't want me to write. It's so stupid. Right. So the thing that comes to mind is we can get caught up with these unctuous figures like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and then we can fold into that what we know about her background, how she was heading up the DNC. So that lends itself to the credibility of being very skeptical of Debbie Wasserman Schultz because she has such a bleak background. But in addition to that, it shouldn't even matter what her background is. It just tells you what a dishonest dealer she is. And it just fits in again with the pattern of behavior that we see from people who tend to be pro-freedom and people who are not. Because the people who are not pro-freedom, they don't care whether they lie to you.
Yep.
They just don't give a flying crap.
Yep.
So, yeah, let's go to your site and check that out, Eric. I love the fact that you've got – this is from Forbes. Yeah. This is the Forbes piece, and they do a pretty good job covering a lot of the hearings and things like that. Mm-hmm. So shall we click on that one?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
In Part B of House Report 118-261, for what purpose does the gentleman from Kentucky seek recognition? Mr. Chair, I have an amendment at the desk. The clerk will designate the amendment.
Amendment number 60, printed in Part B of House Report number 118-261, offered by Mr. Massey of Kentucky.
Pursuant to House Resolution 838, the gentleman from Kentucky, Mr. Massey, and a member opposed, each will control 5 minutes. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Kentucky.
Mr. Chair, I rise in support of my amendment, which states none of the funds made available by this act may be used to implement Section 24220 of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. My amendment is simple. It will defund the federal mandate that requires all new vehicles after 2026 be equipped with a kill switch that can disable a vehicle if the vehicle has monitored the driver's performance and that the vehicle determines that the driver is not performing well. It's so incredible that I have to offer this amendment. It almost sounds like the domain of science fiction, dystopian science fiction, that the federal government would put a kill switch in vehicles that would be the judge, the jury, and the executioner on such a fundamental right as the right to travel freely. But here we are. It is federal law that this is mandated, and so I am offering this amendment to defund this mandate. And with that, I reserve the balance of my time.
Gentleman reserves. For what purpose does the gentleman from Illinois seek recognition?
Mr. Chairman, I claim time in opposition.
The gentleman is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from Florida, the ranking member of the Military Construction and Veterans Affairs Subcommittee, Ms. Wasserman Schultz.
The gentlewoman is recognized.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. I actually need 2 minutes, if that's possible, Mr. Chairman.
We'll do 2 minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The gentlewoman is recognized.
Thank you very much. Lobbying in mid.
I just want to pause it there, Eric, to mention that we're paying for those minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We are slaves to their entertaining tongue wagging.
In mid-sentence, I rise in opposition to this amendment. Let me be clear. The act that the gentleman is trying to defund does not require auto manufacturers to install kill switches. It does not do that. Passive drunk driving technology is a vital tool in safeguarding our loved ones and other innocent people on our roads.
So I'll pause it right there, of course, Eric, because her implication is that if you oppose this, then you're in favor of drunk driving.
Of course. Just like if you oppose, you know, having your wife or your girlfriend groped at the airport, then you are in favor of letting terrorists hijack airplanes.
It's just insufferable. It is unbelievable. And the thing is that she just outright lies. She tries to use different terminology. And Thomas Massey, and I've got a hyperlinked in my piece, Thomas Massey hyperlinked and showed in his Twitter feed the actual amendment and his and the actual original document from 2021. I wrote down here, I said, indeed, after Schultz made her claim, Massey delivered the goods, posting on Twitter/X images of the actual statute from 2021, confirming that indeed the mandated tech would, quote, prevent or limit motor vehicle operation if impairment is detected. And of course, the government, and as I noted, the government is in charge of what level of something is an impairment. They will demand these things, and they're the ones who are already imposing so many problems on us that we can't even drive freely. They even want to know our biometric information on our driver's so-called licenses. Why do we have to have a driver's license?
Because
they run the roads.
You know, they use that word license, which is implied. The implication there is it's a test or it's a measure of confidence that you have somehow demonstrated your ability to competently operate a motor vehicle. But as anybody who has gone through the driver licensing procedure in the last 30 years know, it's nothing of the kind. You know, you do a pro forma little thing in the back of the DMV, and mostly it's about a questionnaire about traffic laws, and fundamentally it's about ID. Fundamentally it's about having the state's permission to drive. It's nothing like having a private pilot's license, for example, which you, in order to get that, you actually have to demonstrate that you can safely and confidently fly an airplane. There's nothing, nothing analogous to that with regard to a driver's license.
And again, if we had private roadways, you could have, as you and I have discussed, you could have different levels of drivers who might be very, very good drivers and want to go very fast. You could have older, slower people who want to go slow on certain roads. You could have even markets that are made for those things. And the people who run those things could have liability based on their own insurance, which is necessary to make sure that they have upkeep of the roads and that they only allow those types of people onto the roads. It's very, very simple, and all of it would be voluntary.
Sure.
And, you know, Eric, we talk about our ability to move, our ability to transmit ourselves from one place to another. If I could, I would love to get your thoughts as a libertarian and one of the best out there who puts out information about all sorts of subjects on freedom. We had last week, November 5th, I had a piece released from MRC TV about Joe Biden's AI executive order. And I said, listen, this pertains, and I mentioned this last night, this pertains not just to so-called artificial intelligence, as people might see it as, well, I'm going to have artwork made and it might be pulling information from copyrighted material. Not about that. This is about any software program, any algorithm that is created by anybody in the United States. They must report under this new executive order, and I've got it quoted. I've got the pertinent sections quoted. I'll show everybody on the screen, and I've got a video about it that I showed previously on the show. I mentioned that this executive order actually openly states that if it can be used for so-called dual-use purposes, which means for military or civilian purposes, then the government will require, and I have it right here, within 90 days of the date of this order, to ensure and verify the continuous availability of safe, reliable, and effective AI in accordance with the so-called Defense Production Act, and that's the one that they use for the jabs. They keep doing this. Oh, it's for national security. As amended under the Title 50 of the U.S. Code, including for the national defense, the Secretary of Commerce shall require companies developing or demonstrating an intent to develop potential dual-use foundation models to provide the federal government on an ongoing basis, however often they want. I mean, the principle's already broken, but then they can just continue to hassle people with information, reports, or records regarding the following. Completely contrary to the Fourth Amendment. We talked about FISA before. Then they say any ongoing or planned activities related to training, developing, or producing dual-use foundation models, including the physical and cybersecurity protections, literally the physical locks and the cyber protections that you might have for taking this process and making sure that it's protected against sophisticated threats. So the government will determine whether you're protecting. They will ask you, a demand from you, that you supply them this information without any warrants whatsoever. So the transmission of us on the roads is mirrored by this AI with his claim through executive action to control our transmission of information on the internet. And they're the ones who are going to say, give it to us. Give us all this stuff. Again, it's like licensure. You will get permission to do this, but that is up to us. It's not up to the marketplace.
Right. And they use terminology like, you know, this vague lingo, which is deliberate. Dual use. What does that mean? Well, it means right. Any use that they decide is dual use, right?
Right.
And when they say AI, I mean, it sounds to me like that would encompass essentially any kind of technology, any program, any software that you might be running. So that they have a backdoor so that they have access to it. And so, of course, they can control it. So, again, you're reduced to being a conditional user who's granted certain privileges that can be rescinded at any time. You're no longer the owner of anything.
Exactly. I mean, if you draw the logic down to it, binary code, zeros and ones, is dual use. It's universal use, right? So, I mean, it opens such a Pandora's box. And today, Eric, I got this from the Highwire. And I want to share it with you now on the program. I was going to do it in a separate piece, but everything ties together here because we're talking about the free flow of us, the free flow of information, and that devilish FCC, which started as the FRC, the Federal Radio Commission. And as I've noted in the history of the FRC, and I read a lot of that stuff, probably about 2 months ago, the history of the FCC and how it was created and how it blocked television that could have come around 4 years earlier and played favorites with radio station owners to stop television from coming in because they didn't want the competition. This is from Del Bigtree's team at ICANN. He says, the FCC just voted to take control of the internet. Now, as I mentioned in the opening of the program, Eric, we know that they've been pushing to reinstate this dumb so-called and, you know, absolutely Orwellian titled net neutrality, which would make it impossible for internet providers, cable companies and so on to be able to charge a little bit more for people who want faster internet, which disincentivizes them from going through the discovery and research process to actually give us better stuff. It's just so stupid. But then they said, so they have here, the FCC just voted to take control of the internet. And this ties in, and I think it was timed this way. I think Biden put out his AI thing last week to dovetail with this new announcement from the now Democrat-controlled 3-2 FCC, which is patently unconstitutional. The FCC voted today on a plan that gives the federal government full control over the internet. The plan passed by 3-2 margin, of course. A press release posted immediately after the meeting stated in part, quote, under the new rules, the FCC can investigate possible instances of discrimination of broadband access, according to them, as they define it, work with companies to solve problems. In other words, call them in if they want to hassle them or give them special benefits if they're friendly to the FCC, or perhaps they ideologically are friendly to the FBI, or they play the way that Facebook did or Twitter did in silencing people like you and me. instances of so-called discrimination of broadband access, work with companies to solve problems, facilitate, there's a wonderful euphemism, facilitate mediation, and when necessary, penalize companies for violating the rules. What are the rules? The FCC will review customer complaints of digital discrimination of access through an improved consumer complaint portal, and staff will meet monthly to assess trends in complaint patterns. Finally, the commission adopted model policies and, oh, again, that wonderful term that is inside and poses, instead of the death panel, they call it the best practices panel inside Obamacare. They will promote and adopt model policies and best practices that will support states, local, and tribal governments. Why they have anything to do with tribal governments? They're supposed to be separate nations. So I did about 2 hours on the Indian treaties that were abrogated by the feds last night. They weren't abrogated last night. Last night, I did about 2 hours on this, Eric. And I tried to analogize that make it sort of a cipher for what was going on with the Gazans and the Israelis and all the agreements that they've abrogated. And how they've been pushed off their land and things like that. In an effort to combat digital discrimination. So that, I think, pulls in the net neutrality stuff, but it metastasizes it. It makes it anything they want.
Well, it's the next step. You know, we all have become very aware of the way the federal government colluded with the tech giants, with Google and with YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. To suppress what they would style misinformation, which is essentially synonymous with anything they don't like, anything that they disagree with, even if it's true.
Yeah.
But that's not enough. You know, they know that they haven't got control of people like you and I who have an independent platform, who don't operate through one of these giant entities like Twitter or Facebook. So I foresee that they're going to use this sort of legislation and authority that they're arrogating to throttle us. You know, and to do things like, I don't know, they'll apply some kind of a fairness doctrine. Can you imagine them doing something like that? Wherein someone like myself who has a website where I'm obliged to publish points of view that are contrary to the ones that I express on the site, at my expense, of course, on my platform.
There's more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.